I earned my degree online at Arizona State University. I chose to get my degree at ASU because I knew that I'd get a quality education, they were recognized for excellence, and that I would be prepared for the workforce upon graduating. To be associated with ASU, both as a student and alum, it makes me extremely proud, and having experienced the program, I know now that I'm set up for success. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a two-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Love to Death is a podcast that discusses brutal and heartbreaking crimes involving domestic violence. Themes may include murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the victims in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that, honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. What is a father? Most would describe a father as a parental figure. That is seen as a protector, leader, and strength of the family. However, this would not be the case in this story. Sarah and Amina's lives were in constant fear of their safety and privacy. Every step was monitored by their father. Amina even telling her boyfriend she knew her father was going to kill her. Sarah and Amina would flee the state, only to have their mother bring them home to have their lives brutally taken in what the FBI described as an honor killing. This is Sarah and Amina's story.
It starts off with the 911 call with Sarah on the phone telling everybody that her father is killing them, and you hear the final shots.
Those were the last words ever spoken by either Amina or Sarah Saeed. The 17 and 18-year-old sisters were shot in the back of a taxi cab in an Irving Hotel parking lot, New Year's Day 2008. Their father, Yasser, has not been seen since.
It was 1986 and 14-year-old Patricia Owens was living with her parents and siblings in an apartment complex. Next door was a Circle K convenience store, and this is where Patricia would hang out. Small town, and there really wasn't a lot to do. It would be at this Circle K Patricia would meet Yasin Syed. Yasin was a clerk at this store and the two would start dating. This romance would be short-lived, but soon after, Patricia began dating Yasin's older brother, Yasser. The issue being, both brothers were aged in their late 20s, and as I mentioned, Patricia was barely a teen at 14 years old. But February 1987, Patricia, who was now still only 15, would marry 30-year-old Yasser Syed. The Syeds had immigrated to the United States in 1983 from Egypt, and Yasser was on a student visa at the time. After dating for only 2 weeks, Yasser went to Patricia's parents and asked for her hand in marriage. He sold this story, how his family were rich back in Egypt, the Syeds owning massive parcels of land. And the Owen family, they were struggling financially. They saw this opportunity for one of them to do good, and then in turn maybe help the rest of the family out of poverty. Because of this, they willingly basically signed their daughter over to the Syeds. 2 months after being married, Patricia would fall pregnant with the couple's first child, a boy, Islam, who was born in 1988 when Patricia was only 16. By 17 years old, Patricia would become a mother for a second time with their second child, a girl, Amina, born March 3, 1989. And then when Patricia was still only a teenager, not yet old enough to have her first glass of wine, she would have a third child, another daughter, Sarah, who was born a year later on March 16, 1990. Very quickly, it would become clear that everything Yasser had promised Patricia and the Owens was a lie. Shortly after the children were born, the family moved to Covington, Texas. Here, Patricia and the children were isolated and completely relied on Yasser. The family were living in a small trailer without electricity and running water. Patricia would later report this being the hardest time in her life, having to care for three very small children without any basic utilities. They didn't even have a working bathroom, the family having to go into the woods to go to the toilet in a hole in the ground. Both Patricia and Yasa were employed, but Yasa was extremely controlling. Yasa's money was his money. So it was up to Patricia to use her income to make sure the bills were paid and there was food on the table. Yasa was a taxi driver, but it wasn't regular work. There would be periods where Yasa wouldn't work, and then Patricia would need to give him some of her money too for who knows what. But she learned early on in the marriage to never question anything Yasa said, because if she did, it resulted in beatings. Not that she needed to do anything to be the victim of Yasa's wrath. He would come home from work in the mornings and wake Patricia up by kicking the bottoms of her feet or hitting her. He would throw all their clothes out of the dresser just to make Patricia clean it all up. If Patricia even refused to have sex when Yasa wanted it, he would threaten her with knives. One time even cutting her on the leg. In 1998, charges would be filed against Yasa for sexually abusing his daughters, 9-year-old Amina and 8-year-old Sarah. However, he wouldn't face prosecution because a month into the investigation into what happened here, the charges would be dropped. Patricia stating that the girls admitted to her that they had lied about their father assaulting them, and that it never happened. It would seem that Yasa somehow got into their heads and manipulated either Patricia, the girls, or all three of them into changing their statements. Amina would later go on to tell her friends that her father did sexually abuse her and her sister. There would be also several instances where the girls would show up to school with welts and bruises. Amina had a busted lip. Amina would later be described as the more outgoing of the two sisters. She was energetic, with a bubbly personality. The younger sister, Sarah, was much more reserved and shy, a tomboy. Sarah was extremely intelligent and wanted to be a doctor when she grew up. She loved reading and always had a book with her. She knew what she wanted in life and was not afraid to work for it. Despite their personality differences, the girls were each other's best friends. They were inseparable and did everything together. Yasa ran a strict household, and Amina and Sarah didn't have the freedoms allowed to their big brother Islam. They really weren't allowed to do anything outside of school and then home. Yasa would spy on his daughters, secretly recording and videoing them without their knowledge, even when they were sleeping. Amina told friends she was even afraid to use the public telephones because Yasa would know, quote, "He gets everywhere, he knows everything," unquote.
Get out! I'm erasing this tape.
No, you can't.
Yes, I will.
Are you drunk?
This is illegal. Do I videotape you when you're sleeping?
Hey, get there.
These are videos that have rarely been seen.
Wow, look at these eyes. I broke my eye on you.
I'm gonna get sick now.
This is Yasser Saeed.
Okay, turn it off, Dad.
With his teenage daughters, Amina and Sarah.
He followed them everywhere, and he recorded their every move.
Here, he's keeping an eerie watch on Sarah at work.
She smiled to the customers.
Bella, she has to. Part of her job.
She's in trouble.
The problems with their dad went back years. When they were younger, the girls told police he was sexually abusing them. This is him again behind the camera.
Nice legs.
When Sarah got a job at the local general store, Yasa would spy on her and video her while she was at work. And if he believed she was being too friendly with the male customers, she'd be punished when she returned home. You see, Yasa was Muslim and he wanted his daughters raised as such. He did not like them dressed in what he deemed as Western culture, and saw them doing so as a sign of disrespect. Around the age of 17, Amina would start taking Taekwondo classes. It would be here she would meet Joseph Marino. Joseph would later describe to reporters how he felt the first time he saw Amina, that he was completely taken aback, that he thought she was breathtakingly beautiful. He was almost intimidated by her beauty and didn't think he would stand a chance with someone like Amina. It would be Amina who would approach Joseph, asking him straight out for his phone number. And the two teens would spend these classes talking to each other and getting to know each other. And very quickly, they would fall in love. After a time, Amina began to confide in Joseph about her home life. how controlling her father was and how miserable things were at home. That despite how much she loved Joseph and how proud she was to call him her boyfriend, their romance had to be kept a secret. Because if Yasa found out about their relationship, he would forbade her from seeing him. That Yasa despised American men and had said he would never allow his daughters to date one, let alone marry one. Yasa had a strong cultural background. He was raised in a strict Muslim household, and that's exactly what he wanted for his daughters. He basically wanted to marry them off to older men in an arranged marriage. Now, in the early stages of Amina and Joseph's relationship, he would take Amina to Egypt with the exact plans to do that. He had arranged a 40-year-old man to marry his 17-year-old daughter. Amina would obviously refuse, and the father and daughter returned home. However, Yasa's search for a husband for his daughter did not stop here. He kept searching for men, often coming to Amina to show her the next man he had found for her to marry. But in return, she would reject them all. Only a week before her murder, Amina emailed a teacher from her high school, quote, "We don't want the police involved until I'm totally ready. I'm so scared right now, it's crazy. We're not allowed to date, and my father is arranging my marriage. My father said I can't put it off anymore and I have to get married this year." Unquote. Little did Yasa know, but Amina had already found the love of her life in Joseph. The two already speaking of running away together and eloping once Amina turned 18. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
As I mentioned, Yasa would spy on his daughters, and this included going through their belongings looking for anything he didn't approve of. One day, Yasa found one of many love letters that Amina wrote to Joseph. The couple would write each other back and forth. Yes, they did text and speak to each other over the phone, but these conversations were friendly and never intimate, and the chance Yasa would overhear or check her phone. But it was in these little notes that Amina and Joseph would write each other, where they could truly speak of their love and affection for the other. But one day, Yasa would find one of these letters and he completely lost it. Amina tried to cover this up by saying the letter was for an imaginary boyfriend. Yasa did not believe her and he continued to press for information, even physically beating on his daughter. But Amina was incredibly strong and protective of Joseph. Even though knowing her life was at risk, Amina would never admit to anything, not even revealing Joseph's name. After this, Amina would end her relationship with Joseph, basically for his own safety. She truly believed if she kept seeing Joseph, her father would kill him or her or both of them. So she ended her relationship, cutting off all contact, even though it broke both of their hearts. But Yasa knew something more was going on and he wasn't going to allow it. He would pack up the family and move to Louisville, about 20 miles away from where they previously lived. And unbeknownst to Yasa, his youngest daughter, 17-year-old Sarah, was also seeing an American boy, Eric Panamino.
I knew the fear and threat was real all the time. I mean, she told us all the time that her dad would kill her.
Finally, in December 2007, their mother, Patricia, decided it was time to take her daughters and leave Saeed.
December 26, 2007. The day after Christmas was the day where enough was enough. Patricia and the two girls would leave Texas and go to a rented apartment in Tulsa, Oklahoma. To support the girls, Amina's best friend Eddie came along with Sarah's boyfriend Eric. Patricia was aware in making this decision there was no return. She knew that if she returned with the girls, he would harm them. Quote, "I know he will kill them." Unquote. And this plan was well organised and smart. Patricia signed the lease under an assumed name, so there was no way Yasser could find them that way. They broke their SIM cards from their phones. They only used cash. They took all the precautions necessary to ensure there was no way Yasser could find them. But only 5 days later, Patricia would have a change of heart. She told the girls they were going home to Louisville. Now Sarah knew they were returning to their father. However, Amina was completely in the dark. In fact, if Amina knew they were going to go back to their father's home, she would never have gotten in the car to drive back. Amina was under the impression they were going to Texas, so that their mother could visit her grandmother's grave. Only this was not the case, and it was only when the family were already in Texas did Patricia reveal the true intentions for the drive back. Amina put her foot down and said there was no way, no how she wanted to go back to her father. The main reason being while they were living in Oklahoma, she felt it was safe to now finally follow her heart. And she and Joseph rekindled their relationship. And going home would mean again stopping communication with him. So instead of going with her mother and sister, she went to her friend Eddie's home to stay with his family. Patricia would not let up though. She repeatedly called Amina and begged her to come home. That she and Sarah had spoken with Yasser and that he promised everything was going to be different from now on. Sarah and Islam were also brought into it and they also called Amina, asking her to give Yasser one last chance. One last chance for them to be a family again. It wouldn't be until the following day, January 1st, 2008, Yasser called Amina. When he told her how sorry he was and now he just wanted the opportunity to make things right. It was only then that Amina agreed to meet with her father, Yasser offering to take Amina and Sarah out for dinner. That way they could talk about the future. Unfortunately, the future would be too short for Amina and Sarah. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Tuesday, January 1st, 2008, around 7:30 p.m., Yasser drove the sisters out to dinner in his taxi, Amina in the front seat and Sarah in the back seat. Patricia wanted to come along, but Yasser insisted on taking the girls on his own. Stopping in the parking lot at the Omni Mandalay Hotel in Irving, Texas, Yasser then shot 18-year-old Amina twice in the chest at point-blank range. 17-year-old Sarah was shot 9 times. Yasser then jumped out of the taxi and fled into the nearby wooded area, leaving his daughters to die. Sarah was a fighter. As I said earlier in this story, she was determined and always achieved what she set out to do. That strength was tapped into and Sarah called 911 for help.
What's going on, ma'am?
I'm dying, that was
ever. Irving Fire Department.
Ma'am, are you still there? Ma'am, are you still there? All I've got is she's telling me she's dying. Are you still there, ma'am? Ma'am, what is your address? Ma'am.
She names her father as her killer. Unfortunately, police could not immediately find the girls. Much of what Sarah said during the 911 call is unintelligible. The dispatcher asked Sarah repeatedly for an address of where they were. I would imagine Sarah's body would have been going into shock and not processing what was happening around her. It is incredible that she could do what she did do.
The cab in our cab stand, it doesn't appear that there's a driver, but there are 2 people inside the cab, one in the passenger seat and one in the rear of the vehicle. One of the people in the passenger seat looks like she's hunched over and she has blood coming from her ear. It doesn't look like they're alive to me.
I understand that. We've got our officers en route.
About an hour later, an emergency dispatcher received another call. They told the dispatcher they could see 2 young women in a taxi and they could see a lot of blood. Quote, they don't look alive. Unquote. And this is how the girls were discovered. But by this time it was too late. Amina and Sarah had succumbed to their injuries and had died. Yasser Syed was on the run for a long time. At first, authorities thought he'd fled back to Egypt, but it was later found he was still living in the United States. He was even reported to be seen driving a taxi in New York City. Patricia also filed for divorce from Yasser in 2009, finally being able to be free from his coercive control after decades. It would be 12 long years before Yasser Syed was finally apprehended. This was after he'd even earned himself a spot in the FBI's top 10 most wanted list. When they found him, he was still living in Texas, Justin, Texas, just 30 miles from the crime scene. It seemed he'd been hiding in plain sight this whole time. August 14, 2017, there was finally a break in the case. A maintenance worker at an apartment complex owned by none other than Yasser's son, Islam. He reported seeing a man inside Islam's apartment matching Yasser's description. Authorities got a search warrant and began a 24-hour surveillance on the property of Yasser's niece, Daled Syed, where Yasser was also reported to be seen at.
The U.S. Attorney's Office released documents related to the arrest of the FBI's most wanted fugitive, Yasser Syed, accused of killing his teenage daughters in the family cab back in 2008. The Attorney's Office charged two family members, Yasser's son, Islam, and brother Yassin, accusing them of protecting the fugitive from arrest. The police believe the two had been protecting Syed since at least 2017, when Irving PD almost caught up with him near an apartment in Bedford. It lays out how authorities were able to find him this time, tracing the fugitive at a house in Justin and by inspecting trash that was thrown out by the two men at a business in Southlake. If convicted, they face up to 5 years in federal prison. Yasser Syed faces the death penalty for killing his two daughters.
August 20th, 2017. SWAT agents captured 63-year-old Yasser Syed. That same day, the FBI also arrested and charged Islam and Yasser's brother Yassin in helping him evade the authorities. Yasser being charged with two counts of capital murder and unlawful flight from prosecution. January 19, 2021. Islam would be the first to go to trial, and he would plead guilty to harbouring a fugitive and conspiracy to obstruct justice. The prosecution arguing that Islam prioritised the whims of his father over justice for his own sisters. And 3 months later, Islam Syed was sentenced to 10 years in federal prison. August 2022, 14 and a half years after the deaths of Amina and Sarah Syed, their father Yasser Syed had his day in court. And even though the prosecution were in all rights to request the death penalty, they chose not to. The defence went straight for the racism card, stating this was only about Yasser being Muslim. And this was simply a case of a botched investigation, fixated on a Muslim man in a post-9/11 world. But multiple witnesses would testify, both Amina and Sarah being terrified their father would kill them, and they knew he was capable of doing so. In an interesting move we don't see often, Yasser took the stand in his own defence, talking through a translator. This is despite Yasser understanding and speaking English perfectly. But Yasser would testify under oath that the night his daughters died, he was driving and he saw someone was following them. Yasser thought he was the target, so he got out of the car and fled, leaving the girls, assuming that they would be safe. He said the reasons he thought they would be safe was because he thought his daughters had sent someone to assassinate him.
Truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you guys.
To hear Yasser Syed tell it, he's the victim.
Yasser Syed was guilty even if he proved innocent.
A victim of a media narrative after the killings of his daughters Amina and Sarah on New Year's Day in 2008.
I believe behind this coverage there was a secret agenda.
Did you kill your daughters that night?
No, sir, I didn't. Of course
they did. Syed acknowledged being upset his daughters were dating.
In my culture, it's something to get upset about.
That night, he said he left to take them to dinner, only to realize someone was following them.
I was thinking someone sent them after me to harm me and not my girls.
So he says he abandoned the girls in the cab at a bus stop.
I told them, the car is yours. You do whatever you want.
So you left your girls to get slaughtered in the car.
I was not aware they would be killed.
Yasser also told the court that he told Amina and Sarah that the car was theirs, and to do whatever they wanted since they knew how to drive. He also added that since they ended up murdered, he regretted leaving them alone. Yasser said he was only hiding all those years because he thought he would get an unfair trial. The defense argued that Sarah only said it was her father who killed her because she was dying, and dying people can have hallucinations. That Sarah had hallucinated her father shooting her and her sister. At the end of the day, the jury saw all through this bullshit. And on August 9th, 2022, Yasser Sayed was found guilty of the capital murder of 18-year-old Amina Sayed and 17-year-old Sarah Sayed. He is now serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole at the Dallas County North Tower Detention Facility. This whole incident took its toll on Patricia. Look, I'm not going to speak poorly of Patricia. Do I agree with her decisions? No, but she was a victim too. She was a child herself when she was married off to Yasser and had his children. She was groomed and manipulated in her teenage developing years, during a time that we normally discover who we are and who we will be as adults. Patricia never had that. She was never allowed to think for herself and have opinions. And then she left Yasser in his control. That would have been terrifying for her. It is understandable she went back to her abuser, because even though her life was horrible there, it was the only life she knew.
My name is Patricia Owens. I'm the mother
of Amina Sayed. And the mother of Amina Sayed. Because of the actions that Yasser Sayed took, I will not get to take Amina and Sarah to get their first prom dress or go to prom. I will not be able to see Amina and Sarah graduate from high school and college. Both girls wanted to be doctors. They were very smart, intelligent, bright, loving, caring, and did not have an enemy in the world except their father, the devil, that killed them. Both girls wanted to be doctors. They love to help others. I will not get to see Amina and Sarah get married. I will not have grandkids. And I do what other grandmothers get to do, like taking them to the park to feed the ducks and play on the playground, as Amina and Sarah and Islam did when they were younger on a daily basis. Amina and Sarah was caring, loving, bright. I remember when we was on our way to Turner Falls, which we went at least two or three times a week. I'm sorry, a year. Amina said, Amina's words was to her dad, her Bubba, Yasser Sayed, you're a devil. You murdered your girls. The day we were on the way to Turner Falls in Oklahoma, Amina told you, Bubba, I have butterflies in my heart because I'm happy we're going to Turner Falls. Now, Amina and Sarah is at peace. They don't have to worry about you hurting them any longer. You have their blood on your hands. You deserve a lot more than what the judge has gave to you. You deserve to die now, not wait in prison. Not only did you abuse our daughters, you brainwashed our son. Our son is now serving 10 years in the penitentiary because of you. And that mean look that you are glaring at me with, I'm not scared of you anymore. You made me a strong person, but you took my life. You took my family all in one day. You could keep those evil eyes on me as long as you want, but you will never break me down again. nor will you ever be able to hurt another person. And I'm going to say this. I hope somebody gets their hands on you and hurt you and do everything you ever done to anybody. That's counting the 9 bullets you put in Sarah. 9. And she called 911. Amina, 2 bullets in the heart. Anybody that loves their children would have not put a blood on their hands for the murder of these 2 beautiful girls. Not only did you hurt them, not only did you hurt these 2 girls that you claim that you love, you don't know what love is. I don't even think you know what hate is. You don't know what anything is, but to have victims. And God so help me, I will keep Amina and Sarah's picture out there. These girls may not be here alive, but they're always in my heart, always on my mind. After you doing what you did, you have caused not only anger, hatred. I can never forgive somebody like you. I always was scared of you, and you know that. You never treated me like a real person, a wife. I was more of the person that you could take your anger out. Remember when you put the knife to my throat? I do. Remember when you pointed the gun at me? I do. Remember when you shot the tires out of the car and toward the little traveling trailer we lived in Covington? I do. But you know what? I don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't have to worry about that. But there is one thing that I want to tell you. After you took my life away from me, and you know how much I love my children, my family was everything. My kids was my world, was my life. I would do anything for them. Even when I had to protect and put Mina in the van when you was chasing her down the road. Do you remember that? Well, I do. Well, I'm going to go on from talking about some of the abuse. But due to you now, I have a major depression disorder. I'm anemia. I have PTSD. Cannot sleep without having medicine, so I don't see your face. Well, that's the best thing. And you know what? You can keep those evil eyes glaring. Just glare away, because this is going to be the last time that you see me. But I will tell you, I pray on a daily basis that you suffer. That you suffer the pain that Amina went through. That you suffer that Sarah went through. And I just hope that every time you turn around, you have bad dreams. I hope your life is so miserable that you wished you would have just killed yourself. But no, you're too coward to hurt your sister, yourself. But you wasn't too coward to put 9 bullets in our baby daughter, Sarah, and 2 bullets in our oldest daughter, Amina. At this time, you are nothing. You are a prisoner. You are a murderer. And the devil.
Patricia is paying for her decisions here. She is serving the worst possible sentence. She has lost her daughters. She has to deal with her grief and her guilt for the rest of her life. Patricia would give a victim impact statement, and she spoke directly to her ex-husband. Quote, "You deserve to die. No, not in prison. You took my life. You took my family all in one night." Unquote. The FBI would later call the double murder an honor killing, the first time the agency would use that term for a crime in the United States. And honor killings are defined as a murder of a family member to restore the family's honor. Although I would like to challenge calling Amina and Sarah's murders this. For one, yes, Yasser is Muslim, but he wasn't a practicing Muslim. He didn't go to a mosque and he didn't pray. He really wasn't religious at all. He and Patricia didn't even get married in a mosque. They were married in a Catholic church. I think it is more respectful for the Muslim culture and to Amina and Syed's memory to call what Yasser did cold-blood murder. Something he did out of anger for the loss of control. Because Amina and Sarah were at the end of their 10 years. They were almost adults now. And his ability to control what they did and didn't do was almost over. And Yasser was never going to allow that. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Love to Death, please search Love to Death on Facebook. Like the page so you don't miss an episode. And join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Love to Death Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice. And subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. I also have a Patreon, where for as little as $2 a month, not only would you be supporting my podcasts, you will also receive not only this podcast's episodes early and ad-free, but all of my podcasts. Stolen Lives, Mysteriously Listed, and Beyond Your Nightmares. As well as one Patreon-exclusive episode a month. If you are interested, I will place a link in the show notes. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,